right, welcome in to the Other Football Podcast. Chris Chapman, Thomas Viola, Carson A. Merck, and
great to be here, Chris. Thank you for asking. Great to be here. It is a beautiful day, isn't it, Carson?
It is.
You know what my favorite part of today is, Carson? Liverpool's in second place.
That they are.
You know what my second favorite part of today is, Carson?
I'm dying here.
Still that Liverpool's in second place, but that Everton put them there.
That's true.
And my third favorite part of today is after all that talk about us being a joke club, about how it was going to be a mugging. That was an exact text. We have the receipts one Chris Magnum Chapman saying it was going to be a mugging at Goodison Park. And at the end of the day...
Narrator voice, it wasn't a mugging.
It was not a mugging.
Well, yeah, it was not a mugging. So I got to ask you the question. You guys raising a trophy?
Just like you, we are not.
Are you guys selling DVDs for the night you drew Liverpool?
I'd buy that DVD.
I know you would.
I would as well.
I know you would.
Just I'd buy the DVD of you, the DVD commentary of you watching that match. Well, jeez, let me tell you how my Sunday went. I woke up at the crack of 10 o'clock, and I just wake up. I open my eyes. I go, Alexa, what was the score of the Everton match? And she just replies, Everton drew with Liverpool 0-0 today. A smile crossed my face as I went back to sleep until noon.
Isn't that sad, though? Like this is the proudest moment of Thomas's life as an Everton supporter.
They
drew with Liverpool.
The club that hasn't won
anything in his entire existence on this earth.
Make no mistake, Chris. The best part of this has nothing to do with Liverpool and Everton. The best part of this is that it caused you emotional distress.
It did.
That's fair.
That was the best part. Like, personally, very glad, much like all of England outside of the Merseyside area, all of England was rooting for Everton that day. That was unquestionable.
How sad is that? That everybody...
Everybody hates you because you're terrible. It's the same reason that everybody hates the Patriots minus the actually having won anything.
Wait.
It's because Liverpool. Your fan base is insufferable.
Says the guy.
60% of people in a poll would rather have let that woman from ISIS back into the country than watch Liverpool win the Premier League.
Well,
that should tell you all you need to know about how much everyone hates your club. And the best part is you can't even say that they hate you because you win, because you also bottle it in the most critical moments. The title of the episode of this podcast, Liverpool are the Dallas Cowboys of the Premier League, because that's what you are. You haven't been good in a long time, and yet you won't shut up about it.
What's your definition of good?
You haven't won anything either. You talk about how we haven't won anything since I've been alive. You don't win either.
My club has won a lot since I've been alive.
Yeah, you've been alive forever.
Even in your lifetime, my club's won a lot more than your club.
What year were you
born? Like 93, 94?
95.
Everton's got zero trophies!
How many does Liverpool have since then?
I'd have to look it up. They probably have about five or six.
They've got like a league cup or two.
No. They won the European Championship. They won the Champions League in 2005.
Okay.
They were the greatest comeback in the history of the Champions League. They were down 3-0 at the half to AC Milan, came back and won the game.
I mean, the Barcelona PSG game was pretty late.
Not like that, though.
But it wasn't a final.
It wasn't a final.
But Mario Balotelli's celebration was lit as well, now that I'm thinking of it.
Yeah, that was selfie action. Former Liverpool scrub.
Balotelli.
Now playing somewhere in France.
One of my top three favorite players of all time.
Who is he playing with? Because I saw the selfie, and I thought he was with Marseille. Nice. Is he with Marseille now?
I think so.
That guy's bounced around like... probably not appropriate to say it on this podcast.
That's why I just kept saying yeah. We just moved past the analogy.
But
it's been a lit week in soccer.
And it has.
Go ahead, bring it. I know you've got a lot of pent-up frustration because your club is small and has never won anything in your lifetime. So I told you, you have an open forum.
How many Liverpool fans does it take to change a light bulb, Carson?
I don't know.
None. They just talk about how good the old one was.
I like these because a lot of these are also Steelers jokes, which Browns fans can very much appreciate.
Yeah. It is a very similar relationship, except like right now we're watching the Steelers completely implode and the Browns, for all intents and purposes, look like they can win that division this year, especially after they get Antonio Brown.
Well, the Bengals are garbage.
The Bengals are garbage. But like the Liverpool-Dallas Cowboys, again, it saddens me that you guys haven't seen the NBC Ted Lasso commercial. Because one part of it, like the joke is that he plays an American football coach who comes to England.
No, I think I did watch that on YouTube. I don't remember it, though.
Yeah. And
I remember you mentioned it one time before, so I went and watched it.
And he's saying they have a flashcard system so that he can make American comparisons to British teams. Like Manchester United, really rich, everybody either loves him or hates him. Dallas Cowboys. Liverpool, used to be really good, haven't won anything in a long time. Also Dallas Cowboys. West Ham, pickup trucks. Cardiff, who's that hot girl from Game of Thrones? Khaleesi. Yeah, that it. But the Liverpool-Dallas Cowboys, it's so perfect. Jurgen Klopp is also Jason Garrett. You guys talk him up like he's actually good. But at the end of the day,
you may want to talk into the microphone, by the way.
You still haven't won anything since he got there. Like, Joe, for all the talk about Jose Mourinho, who I know you are a huge fan of, and I'm sure you're very sad that you aren't firing Klopp to replace him with Mourinho. But Josie at least won something.
He'll tell you about it.
Yeah,
he will tell you about
three.
It.
I won three. That's more than respect, everyone else. Respect. Yep.
But, like, Klopp's also kind of a douchebag.
Look.
And
the Everton ball boy in Klopp was outstanding.
The only ball boy moment I think that was better than that, and it goes against everything because it hurt the U.S. to an extent, but the Panama game in the day of the match, when that ball boy for Panama just flew down the field to boot a ball out of the stands in their game to try and kill time. Have you seen this video?
No, but the better ball boy moment was when we were at the lights game and someone threw a ball from the stands and nearly decapitated you. But it was the greatest moment in ball boy history. I think
it was the ball boy. It was a fan. Like right, a ball went
or a disgruntled listener of the late great Las Vegas soccer
Benny. #RIP.
My thing is, I like the spite of Chris, but I also like Liverpool players. Like I don't dislike Liverpool as a club or the players. The Klopp stuff with the excuses is my number one gripe.
The win. Did you see that video?
Yes.
Of the flag at Goodison Park.
Yeah. Like every match, there's been some crazy excuse, and it's like, dude.
Well, no.
Come
no.
on.
See, he must get his excuses from Arsenal Fan TV. The lights were too bright at the stadium.
See, now that one, and I have to pull it up because the comments that he made were blown out of proportion. That was the headline. He blamed the win. That's not what he said.
I look forward to you bringing up the direct quote where he says the air that was blowing left to right.
The circulation through the stadium was causing problems. What I loved was the one video, and Liverpool fans were actually tweeting it to make fun of Evertonians, but it's nothing. Everton fans when their team wins a throw-in. And it's this guy, like, it's a video of Everton winning the throw-in, and this fan is going absolutely ape. Like, he's like this looks like they just, and I'm just like, you know what? No, I like that.
Passion.
I like that. We showed up for that game.
That is true.
And that was great to see.
Unfortunately, Mo Salah did not show up for that game.
Well, he hasn't showed up all season, so.
What do you mean?
He's been too busy with the Egyptian leading the diamond team.
Who's leaving the Premier League in scoring right now? I don't think it's
not
him.
No, it's not him anymore.
Is it Aguero?
It might be, yeah.
I like Aguero. I don't like his hair, but I like Aguero. Decent player.
Let's see. BBC Sport. Let's see what they tell me. It is Aguero. He's got 18. Salah has 17.
Okay.
Aubameyang has 16. Kane has 16.
Aubameyang got to watch Arsenal get their private parts kicked in the day by whoever they were playing in the Europa League.
Yeah.
Mane has 14. Hazard has 12. Sterling has 12. Sterling was my pick to lead the league.
Shots my cat, Sterling.
How many does Charleston have?
He was out for a bit, though.
Yeah, he was out. Yeah.
Well, considering Gylfi Sigurdsson has 11.
Ooh, there we go, my boy, the White Walker.
Charleston has 10.
All right, I like it. The only two players that we've brought in that are worth a damn, and they have double-digit goals.
That's fair.
I'm happy about that.
All right, so I'm looking for
the Klopp quote.
Yeah, because he
must have been the wind.
Indirectly, he blamed the wind, and he also blamed Salah's finishing
on the wind.
No, Salah. Mo Salah was terrible.
That match, I texted you guys. I was so mad that I watched that. Because I was watching it for the hopes that I could spite one of you and be taunting, and it was 0-0. There's no way it's going to finish 0-0.
Well, I also, surely did. Had I been awake to watch that match and not still passed out from drinking heavily the night before, I know better. As an Everton fan, I know better. We could have been up 4-0, and I wouldn't have said jack even during stoppage time.
Because
I would have been waiting for it to fall over and, like, five random goals get blown in by the wind in stoppage time and we lose.
So speaking of the wind.
His comment was the wind coming in from all directions did not help anybody. Meaning that...
Why bring it up, though?
Yeah.
Well, maybe he was asked. I don't know.
That's pretty excusey.
But he was also saying that it hurt Everton as well.
I don't think you bring that up.
Yeah.
Well,
also not the first time he's brought up something like that.
Well, yeah, he blamed the snow when they... And look, let's be honest, he may have a point with that one.
He also blamed the substitutes in the Manchester United match.
That one,
when they had to make three substitutions.
That one, I'm not on his side.
Yeah,
I'm not feeling him on that one. To me, that's just ridiculousness. The other thing he did, and I'm critical of him, is his freaking lineup.
Yeah, like, because he bottles it in the biggest moments.
Explain to me, and I get he's out there every day. He sees these guys. He knows what they've got. But you've got Jordan Henderson, Gini Wijnaldum, and Lallana came in the game.
That's never a good time.
And I text you anytime Lallana and Matip are on the field at the same time. I'm like, oh, they're done.
Yeah.
It's over. But his substitutions were terrible. Right? He started Origi for some reason.
Because he scored in that heroic moment against Everton.
This is a common theme in the biggest moments with this guy.
Well, I mean, look, it remains to be seen how this season's going to end.
With you guys not winning the Premier League.
No. I think Liverpool will win out. I think they're going to win.
I think you're incredibly wrong. They already had their chance. They were already in prime position.
No, they weren't.
And they because they were. You had a game in hand and were two points up.
Well,
you had to do was not mess it up, and you couldn't do that is what you do. You bottle
it. There's 9 games left. City is going to lose a game before the end of the season.
So you're more confident
City's biggest game that they're, as far as they're concerned, is going to be against United.
They play Spurs and United.
Spurs. I think United
also,
is the problem.
They've also lost to Newcastle, right?
Yeah.
So, look, there's a chance.
That was our Premier League title moment.
They could lose to someone that they shouldn't lose to.
And Liverpool couldn't, though?
I think
Liverpool could.
But City hit their slump already, and I think they're out of it now. Liverpool is in their slump, and I don't think it's over yet.
The problem with Liverpool is their inconsistent play.
And the fact that they can't score goals.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, they played 3 games between Sunday, Wednesday, and they played another game the previous Sunday. So what is that, 7 days? They played 3 games in 7 days? They scored 5 goals. The problem is all 5 of those goals came in 1 game.
Yeah.
They didn't allow any goals.
By the way, my last 3 indoor games, 5 goals allowed. 3 of them came in the last game, but we won that one by 10.
Nice.
No shots off the face, though.
No shots off the face.
That's always a good thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Pause.
But I think that Liverpool, like, the stress is getting to them right now. They're in the middle of this slump. You've already had to get lucky a couple times to get to where you were. Let's not forget that you should only have 2 points against Everton all season.
And that's the thing. That's what I'm going to say. I think I texted you guys, too, when we were talking about it. And I said, look, the reality is if you need a miracle to beat Everton and then you draw against Everton, you probably don't deserve to win the league.
Now, here's what I want to know. Are you rooting against them, against Bayern?
No. Never. I'll never root against my team.
Do you think it would serve them better in terms of winning the Premier League if they exited the Champions League?
Do I think that? Possibly.
Yeah, he's definitely got I'm trying to phrase this question.
No,
here,
I know what you're asking.
Yeah,
me.
like
I'm not 100% convinced that they couldn't do both.
Mm-hmm.
But in all honesty, I don't want to see them go out of another cup because then all they have is
Premier League.
The Premier League. Whereas at least if they beat Bayern, there's a chance. I mean, it's a small chance, right? Because I don't honestly today I don't think they're the best team in the Champions League.
They aren't.
And quite honestly, I don't know if
Porto, my boys, who will draw Liverpool in the next round.
Who got the Roma coach fired today? By the way,
yeah.
And Claudio Ranieri is going to go there
to Porto.
Oh, no, God. To Roma.
Really?
Yeah. I'm down for that.
That dude is making some moves.
He's well traveled, right?
Yeah.
Like one Jose Mourinho.
Like the thing is, I don't know if Liverpool would win the Champions League. I think they could make the semifinals. But I don't think they're better than Barcelona. I don't think they beat Barcelona. I don't.
Barcelona's kind to I, me I flying under the radar.
Yeah,
I don't think they'd beat Atletico Madrid.
Well, here's what I think. I think Atletico could win the whole thing.
I think they could too.
Yeah, and we all mentioned that as a sneaky pick. And
it's
in their stadium.
Oh, I forgot about
that. The final is in their stadium. So how great would it be for them?
Has a team ever? Is it like the Super Bowl where no team has ever hosted?
I don't know. I don't know.
I
would venture to guess that at some point Madrid probably played a game in there in the Bernabeu.
Probably.
But
things have not been going there.
Not this year. So for them, they had a pretty rough week, too.
That's an understatement.
Because they were knocked out of the Copa del Rey by Barcelona.
About to get even worse.
Right? Yeah. It is.
Welcome to hell.
So they're knocked out of the Copa.
Welcome to the rice fields.
They're knocked out of the Copa del Rey by Barcelona. They get smoked, I think, 4-1 on aggregate. They get blown out at home. Then they lose over the weekend to Barcelona again, essentially ending any chance they have to win La Liga. And then the ultimate moment. Ajax goes
That's not
to
the ultimate moment. The ultimate moment is what comes next.
Yes, yeah, that is true.
So this is the penultimate moment. Ajax goes into Madrid. What were they down? 3-1 on aggregate? 2-1 on aggregate? 2-1 on aggregate.
Yeah.
Sergio Ramos, our favorite guy in the world, was so callous and so pompous that he intentionally got yellow carded so he would miss that game. Knowing it would reset when Madrid, quote-unquote, made the quarterfinals.
Well, narrative voice. They didn't make the quarterfinals.
Sergio Ramos.
Douchebag.
So he intentionally gets a card, misses the Ajax game. They get blown out at home. Was it 4-1 final, I think?
I think so.
And their Madrid's goal, well, wasn't that was the one that was – they looked at VAR, right? Because they couldn't determine if it was in or out.
Yeah.
But – so they get smoked by Ajax. Their Champions League is done. They fire their coach.
I don't think they fired him
yet. Not yet. It's coming.
He's going to be fired.
And I'll allow you guys to tell me who's going to be the replacement.
The leading rumor, I think it was Goal News, reported that after this weekend, Jose Mourinho will take over Real Madrid.
I heard it was going to be as soon as tomorrow.
I'm down either way.
He left there 6 years ago on such bad terms, too. Like,
I saw an interview with him recreating history, talking about that, because he essentially was sacked.
Yeah, he was fired.
It was a mutual parting, but everyone knew at the time he was sacked.
Just like everywhere else he's been, he got fired.
Yeah.
With the exception of Porto, I think he left there on his own accord.
And so he recently in an interview was pretty much like, no, it was great. We realized that, you know, the club's aspirations and mine just didn't match up anymore. He was really dancing around it, but he pretty much was like, yeah, we just decided not to move forward. But yeah, him going there is just outstanding in every fashion. Not for Real Madrid on the pitch at all.
This is rock bottom.
Yeah.
Although I will say I am very much looking forward to Gareth Bale at central defensive mid. I'm looking forward to Chris criticizing Isco for not being able to pass when he gets moved to center back.
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear Chris's excuses when Real does not win the Champions League next year.
Yeah.
No excuses for me.
Well, I'm sure you'll have excuses because you're going to have to stand for your boy Marino.
Well, they're saying it's interim manager. So
there's no way.
He may not. Speaking of interim managers, when the hell is United going to name Solskjaer their manager?
I think this week.
Which or honestly,
this coming week, yeah. The week we're in.
Honestly,
they
I can tell you, I am hoping that he is named the manager. Because I
that's
think
a bold stance.
Because I think,
Chris, you know he's doing well, right?
But I'm going to get to that. I think there is still a honeymoon period because these guys hated Mourinho so much that they want to play well this season just to stick it to Mourinho. I'm not convinced that this will carry over because I'm not convinced that Solskjaer is a good manager.
I feel like they want to win every match. I don't think they're winning out of spite.
But they were losing on purpose. Like, they weren't even going out and playing under Mourinho.
Well, that's what happens when you get beaten down enough by a coach. I was going to say,
but that's the thing. But the thing is,
even if he does, even if like next season they're not that great, they're just going to fire him at the end of that season and get somebody else, which they'll probably do either way.
Which is fine
because teams in the Premier League and across the world go through head coaches like a trust fund kid with a cocaine habit.
And I'm fine with that because then next season is a completely wasted season for them as well. Just like this season is.
So when are you guys going to fire Klopp? If you don't bring a trophy in this year, which you're not, and then you don't bring a trophy in next year, that'll be 6 years without a trophy.
Listen, if they don't win a trophy next year, they fire him.
All right, cool.
Because to me, at that point, there's no excuse.
Yeah. The wind won't be able to cover it then. Still good now, but not good then.
And here's the biggest problem I have. Liverpool could, and if they win out, next nine games, they will finish with 97 points. Could you imagine finishing with 97 points and finishing second? Like, that is the most Liverpool way to not win the Premier League.
That'd be great.
Probably going to happen.
And,
so.
And you guys would have a whole freaking year to remind me of it.
Yeah. Oh,
longer than that, Chris. That would be mentioned at your funeral in 5 years or so when you die. When you die at the ripe old age of 107.
Jesus.
Who dies of natural causes in a couple years.
In his sleep at peace.
So do we want to go into the Man U? Since we mentioned Man U, do we want to go into that instance?
Yeah, I think it's
time. Well, yeah, I mean, well there
it was a handball.
It was absolutely a handball.
Before the we get to that garbage.
Well, first, let's...
There was one other game in the Champions League on Tuesday.
Okay.
Dortmund, we had high hopes for them, right? They cruised through the group stages.
Fighting Christian Pulisic.
Yeah, they are... Their season, well, the Champions League is over. And things in the Bundesliga are not going so well for them either. Because
talk about a they hit the yellow wall.
I was going to say, Jadon Sancho turned into Jaden Smith halfway through the season.
They are now tied with Munich on points. And there was a time that I think they had a 10 or 11-point lead on Munich.
You think Bayern was just laughing the day away when they weren't winning the Bundesliga? Like, oh, yeah, enjoy this.
Well, here's the thing. Do you think Dortmund now is glad that they're out of the Champions League and they can focus on the... Do you think...
Yeah.
I would imagine Dortmund is probably rooting for Bayern to beat Liverpool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I wouldn't disagree with
just,
that.
But the funny thing is, I was actually happy to see Spurs win because it's deeper that they go now with...
And you have to be worried about them overtaking you for second.
They're not going to... They're, what, 9-10 points back? They're not overtaking Liverpool.
Well, it's a bigger threat than you guys overtaking City.
I digress on that. I disagree wholeheartedly.
But I think Dortmund is very much doing the same thing that City fans, like one of my producers over at VSiN, Jorge, big City fan, he is rooting for Liverpool against Bayern because he wants them to continue on.
Yeah, of course.
That they'll be more tired.
I'm guessing Jorge is also a glory hunter.
Jorge was a fan of this team back when he couldn't see their games on TV because they were in the championship.
Fair enough. I like him then. Yeah.
The next time Carson is out of town and we need a third chair, we're bringing him on.
To me, that's acceptable. Yeah, Carson's not replaceable.
We've talked about this.
Have? Well, yeah. I'll be damned.
Because I said, do you guys want to bring him on? And you said, maybe one day when one of us is out.
Okay.
Yeah. Just assume it's going to be me?
Yeah. Well, it has to be, because if Chris is out, we don't have a studio, and it's if I'm out,
we've done the show without you, so.
Yeah, we've done the show without me, but like.
The problem is we may want to have him replace you.
Ooh. Wouldn't that would be messed up if your connection was like, I'm just going to be the new co-host.
That's like the guy who hires the guy who ends up firing him, you know? Like, Hugh Jackson, right? Didn't he bring in So Marvin Lewis brought in Hugh Jackson, right? And then there were rumors that when Hugh Jackson was fired, Hugh Jackson was going to take over.
Thankfully for the Bengals and all of their long-suffering fans, they did not do that.
That did not happen. No Hugh Jackson there. All right, so
great.
So yesterday we had two other games.
Yeah,
they
both
ended in similar fashion, although I would say one was not controversial, and that was Porto knocking Roma out. They went into stoppage time. By the way, lights didn't flicker when the vacuum went on. They go into stoppage time.
Or, I was going to say, it's always a 50-50 proposition.
They kind of like the handball. So they played extra time, Porto-Roma. Porto gets a penalty kick, clear penalty. They end up winning the game in like the 117th minute. Roma done. They fire their coach today. Ranieri's going to be brought in, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Porto into the final eight along with Ajax. I don't think anyone would have seen that coming.
No.
Especially when
Frankie De Jong is an absolute baller.
And I think he's going to
Barcelona, I think.
Yeah. Thank God he's not going to the Premier League, because I know he wouldn't be going to my side.
Yeah, he is a beast.
And then there
the
was
the other game, huh?
There was the other game yesterday, and I know we don't agree, despite the fact that Thomas changed his tune on Twitter when he tagged his friend saying that he thought it was
we gotta acknowledge this. Shout out to my boy Chris. Chris Di Maria played his heart out on the pitch for PSG.
No relation to Angel Di Maria, who actually plays for PSG.
Yeah. That was great, though. He just sends me this tweet that someone, some random dude who's a PSG fan, just accidentally tagged him.
I think it's
because
he's verified. That was what
I think
did
that
it.
Helps,
yeah.
Which is still one of the strangest things in the world to us.
Yeah.
That he's the one of us who's verified.
Yeah, that was a...
But
simple mistake, but a hilarious one nonetheless.
Created hours of content for us, culminating in the I see this is your friend who's the Liverpool fan.
Yes.
That was phenomenal.
That it was.
I was changing my tune for comedic purposes. It was absolutely a handball. It was the right call.
No question. A handball.
You could not be more wrong on that.
It was the right call.
It was absolutely...
I mean, his hand is away from his body. He was making himself bigger to stop a shot in the box. I don't know what more you need.
Well,
I agree.
Well,
oh, he got that's what he got.
That's what... So, I knew you guys were going to say this. So, I'm gonna read some quotes to you.
Okay. First off, should we say where people can listen to us? I realize we didn't
do
that.
Oh, yeah,
Spotify, Stitcher, at Other F-Ball Pod on Twitter, BGN.FM. Shout out to Roughneck Scarves. Yep. Carry on.
All right.
Go to the rules.
All right, so...
Apple Podcast.
This is a quote.
Now, wait. Are you quoting the rule book? Or are you just about to list off a bunch of people
Are you quoting Jurgen Klopp?
No, this is not Jurgen Klopp.
The wind.
I am also... So I will read you the quote, and I will tell you who said it.
Okay.
And as we get further and further down, I think my stance is pretty confirmed in these quotes.
Nothing you can say will make you right based on what we saw.
I don't care what any referee tells me. That just isn't the handball. He's facing the other way. It's unnatural to stand like this. Now, he's in the studio. He puts his hands the way. I don't think it's a handball. I love it that it was a handball, but I don't get it. Say you're running at me. I'm stood 4 yards away. If I have to keep my arms down by side, you've got an advantage. It's unfair. Who said it?
Rio Ferdinand.
Former?
Manchester United player.
He's wrong, but fair. He's not wrong. I know there'll be a penalty, or I know there will be people who say this is someone else. I know there'll be people who will say it's a penalty, but for me, it's not one in a million years. He's turned his back. His arm is not in an unnatural position. It's just flicked off his arm and gone for a corner. As soon as it went to VAR, you knew it was going to be a penalty. What we're finding with VAR is every ex-footballer thinks something is not a penalty, but every referee thinks it is. There's a huge disconnect, and that is worrying to me.
I don't know who said that.
Another former Man United player. Liverpool fans refer to him as Judas, by the way. Michael Owen.
Okay.
So what he's getting at is that VAR should not be used to determine. This quote... Manchester United's Champions League VAR penalty should never have been overturned. I didn't think it was a penalty. If you look at it, it struck the defender on the arm. There's no doubt about that. But his arm is so close to his body, he's turning away. I don't think that he had any intention whatsoever of doing anything but getting out of the way of the ball. For me, I'm very surprised.
He was jumping into the ball.
Yeah. Let me finish.
I can't wait to hear who said this.
For me, I'm very surprised it was given. The Premier League are testing VAR at the moment. They're testing week in, week out. I just think that next season they'll go, yeah, we'll give a corner because it's too close.
That was a great quote by Helen Keller.
His arms are in and we'll just move on. I haven't spoken to anyone this morning who thinks that's a penalty.
Whoever that is,
That is one of the greatest Premier League refs of all time, Dermot Gallagher.
How old is Dermot Gallagher?
I'm assuming he's in his
150s.
He's one of the most famous.
He disqualified himself when he said his arm was really close to his body. His arm was not close to his body. Here's a quick, much more brevity here with the Warren Barton, another Premier League legend. It's a penalty all day long. Simple enough.
Correct call, handling, deliberate decision by a player to jump and turn back with arm in that position. Alexi Lawless, GOAT.
Alexi Lawless is...
Absolutely, and that jumping, turning motion is the movement of the arm towards the ball. FIFA rules and rules expert and match commissioner Dr. Joe Matchnick, greatest Dr. Joe Matchnick on Twitter behind faux Dr. Joe, who if you do not follow, you need to be
following. Why is it Americans who don't know anything about the game think it's a penalty, but yet the guys who...
Where is Warren Barton from?
All right, well, I'm talking about Alexi Lawless and Dr. Joe. All right, Mark Halsley, another former Premier League ref. Law 12, HB, irrespective of where arm hand is positioned, doesn't necessarily mean an offense has been committed. There has to be a deliberate movement of arm hand towards the ball.
There was!
In my opinion, VAR should have never got involved. Referee has to be strong and stick with his original decision.
What was the other ref's name?
Which one? Dermot Gallagher?
Yeah, I'm looking him up.
Player's arm is away from his body.
You know Dermot Gallagher. He's the bald guy. He's like,
I just want to see how old he is.
All right.
I really want to see if Mark Geiger has a comment.
Like I said, he's 60. He reffed in England for...
In 1980.
Yeah, also until like, what, 2005, 2006?
2007.
Okay.
You want to know why he retired? Because he was old and couldn't see anymore.
So here's another one. Keith Hackett.
As the rule is written, it's a handball. Player's arm is away from his body in an unnatural position, making himself bigger for the sake of blocking the shot.
Making himself bigger? What are you kidding?
His arm was extended away from his body.
He was attempting to move his arm. It was dumb luck it hit his arm. He didn't do anything intentional.
It hit his arm in the box when he dove forward to get to the ball.
He was getting out of the way.
No, he wasn't. He was diving into the ball. Yeah, That's why he turned his back.
He said he was getting out of the way.
I'm just giving you one more quote. Keith Hackett listed as one of the top 100 referees all time, maintained by the International Federation of Football History and Statistics. The referee in tonight's game was wrong to award Man United a penalty kick. The player with the back to the ball did not deliberately handle the ball. The law in handball is clear. There was no movement of the hand to the ball. It was not deliberate. Oh dear, what a referee.
Keith Hackett's age? 74.
It doesn't matter. These guys know the game. And the problem is the fact that there are so many people in disagreement, people whose opinions are certainly valued in disagreement, prove my point that it was a 50-50 ball at best, should not have been overturned by VAR.
World Cup final referee on Wednesday about the controversial penalty kick awarded by VAR. Neymar hates it, but the ref says it was the right call.
But that's it. You continue to prove my point that there was nothing clear about it being a penalty.
Tim Leandro, in fairness, I called it as a handball in real time.
Here's the other thing.
Sir Ted Lasso.
Here's the other thing. None of the Man United players screamed for a handball. None of them. They went right to the corner because they
immediately... Because there was no time left.
They immediately thought it would... No. If that's a deliberate... If they know it's a handball, they are going to argue with the ref. Someone is going to say something to the ref.
They went
right to the corner. Nobody said a word to the ref. Nobody put their hand up. There was no
protest. I'll tell you who did put their hand up. The defender that blocked the shot.
There was no protest at all from the Man United players.
I think if that happens in the 80th minute, they protest. The fact that it was in stoppage time already, they don't protest because they have to rush to the corner and take a corner.
We'll never know.
Indeed, we won't.
Can we just address the fact that maybe if you don't let Manchester United score 3 goals, you're through anyway?
Well, no, but yeah. we'll get to that.
And Buffon pooed the bed on one of them. That's fine.
You know what?
Yeah.
You can blame PSG all night for not playing and Buffon screwing up and Mbappe falling.
Also, has Neymar played in a game for this team? I feel like any reasonable... Stretching back to his signing for this team, any game of actual consequence, I feel like for PSG, he has not been in.
In his defense, he's hurt. I mean, that's...
He was at Carnival, though.
Well, he's Brazilian. Of course he was at Carnival. That's like a rite of passage.
That was true. Like the equivalent of Rob Gronkowski partying after the Super Bowl when they lost.
That was funny. I remember that.
So, but
Mark Clattenburg, former referee.
Yes.
The referee made the right call in awarding Man United the penalty. He applied the laws, but
again, you continue to prove that there's no that everyone who is somebody in this game disagrees on the call.
But so I guess my question
I'm literally telling you that people are agreeing with the call.
Well, my question
is you can't then turn around like you can't put
Rio Ferdinand's opinion on the matter is nothing. It's irrelevant.
No. My question is why does it being a 50-50 proposition lean to you saying it's that it's not a handball?
Because what I'm saying is VAR should not have overturned the call.
But if it's a 50-50 call, the ref's going to feel it.
But the problem is there's people who don't think that it was a handball.
But there's people that think it was a handball.
But that's the problem. The problem is VAR should not be overturning a call that is not clear. There was not clear evidence that it was a handball.
There's pretty clear evidence if you look at it, which the referee did.
It's based on the opinion of one person. There are multiple referees who don't agree.
Yeah,
that's
what happens
in
a subjective sport. But guess what? The opinion it's based off of is the referee who's making the call.
And he was wrong. It's not a handball.
No, you think he was wrong.
It wasn't a handball.
It was a handball. The ball hit off the guy's hand, and he was blocking the shot.
He was turning away from the shot. It's not a handball.
He was jumping into the shot.
No, he was.
He said, with both of his arms.
He wasn't ripping his shirt off.
He pretty much.
He was going for it.
His arm was nowhere near his body.
And here's the other point, and I already know where we're going with this.
Look, you're outvoted 2-1 here.
It doesn't matter. I'm right. You're wrong.
No, you're wrong.
What are you, Danny DeVito from Matilda?
Yes. I take Rio Ferdinand's opinion over Alexi Lalas.
Okay.
And he's biased, and he didn't agree with the call.
You're biased. You don't agree with a lot of things.
But he clearly says, too, I'm glad the ref got it wrong.
That's great.
Rio Ferdinand is also, you accused Alexi Lalas as being a hot take guy. Rio Ferdinand is a hot take guy.
And if he was a hot take guy, don't you think he would?
No, this is his hot take going.
You know what
contrary to what you would expect.
You know what hot take from Alexi I agree with on all this? I definitely like his idea that if it hits your hand, it's a handball. Intent shouldn't matter. And I know this isn't the rule. What he's arguing for is that they should change the rule. To just be hits your hand, it's a handball.
If someone
is good enough to try and snipe your hand, let them try.
I don't like that. I'm not on board with that.
I'm on the fence.
I think it should I don't think it should be exactly like if your hands are obviously in your body and you're.
I think they should give soccer shorts pockets.
I'm cool with that.
Just put your hands in your pockets.
Yeah,
that's how you avoid a handball.
You know how you avoid a handball? Like every single one of my defenders in indoor does it. Just. Hands behind your back.
But it's just dumb luck that it hit his arm.
No, it's not dumb luck.
He wasn't intentionally trying to hit the ball with his arm.
He was trying to hit the ball, and it hit his arm.
He was trying to hit the ball in the box with his arm? Are you crazy?
No, he was trying to block the shot, and he blocked it with his arm.
Get out.
Guess what? That's
get out of here. I'm turning your mic off.
He was completely trying to block the shot.
I would argue you said that it was just dumb luck that it hit his hand. If his hand had been really close to his body, I would agree with you. His hand being that far, I'm holding up a
box.
A few inches. Pause. It wasn't that away from his body. It was a good bit away from his body.
I want to.
He was
out.
Like a bear when you try to make yourself bigger.
Mm-hmm. I want to go out and kick a ball at you. I want you to jump in the air and try to block it and see how many times it hits your arm.
But the chances of it happening with the way he jumped compared to somebody else jumping, it would be exponentially higher because he jumped backwards and had his arm away from his body.
If he jumped
up normally, you wouldn't be able to hit his hands.
Here's the other thing. Do you know how much stoppage time was supposed to be on the clock?
No.
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Do you know what time the ref blew the whistle?
8 minutes.
It was like 9 minutes.
Yeah.
He gave PSG like 5 extra minutes because he knew that he screwed up.
No, I think that is a big stretch. He gave them five extra minutes because it was a long time that they spent on that VAR and then the penalty.
It wasn't 5 minutes long.
It was a while on the build-up.
It was about 2 minutes.
Which makes
I was watching it.
Which we have to tip. We have to give a cap tip to Marcus Rashford for burying the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
against Buffon and after the delay of VAR.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big matzo ball hanging out there.
And Buffon, to his credit, he guessed right. He just didn't put his body in the right spot. But
they should have had Kepa.
I saw a lot of people saying that they were so arrogant that they should have played the, because he's like one of the most expensive goalkeepers in the world, right? The backup goalie for PSG, not Kepa. What's his name? Areola, is that his name?
Yeah.
They're saying he's like really, really good.
He is. But like you also have Buffon.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that take that they should have played the backup. Yeah, but
I don't like
you
it.
You know, the reality is PSG crapped themselves in that game.
That's an understatement.
And the ref helping United certainly didn't help PSG, but the reality is PSG should have won the game.
Helping United by, you know, calling a handball.
It wasn't a handball.
Except for the fact that it was.
No. See, here's the Thomas hot take. See, you, I am a little surprised Carson.
You're surprised Carson sees logic because he has eyeballs isn't so biased against Man United?
Because Carson doesn't come in here with the intent on pissing off a Liverpool fan.
That's
true. Because even though, you know, his club has some history, unlike yours.
Oh.
So Thomas walks in the
again
door.
Again with the shots from the Dallas Cowboys fan.
As opposed to shots from the Buffalo Bills fan.
Nice.
I'll take
that.
Are
they the Bills? No, they're not the Bills. No, the Jets, aren't they?
Because firmly the Jets.
Yeah. No, because the Jets have actually won a championship.
As has Liverpool.
Like 700 years ago.
As has Everton.
What would Newcastle be like? The Chiefs? Because they were good like way long ago.
You do not have Patrick Mahomes.
No, but they did have.
They have Miguel Almirón.
You do have Andy Reid.
Okay.
Yeah. Rafa Benitez?
Yeah. I don't think they're similar.
Rafa won a Champions League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Andy Reid has not.
Yeah. That's a valid point.
So I
still a quality
Newcastle coach. Newcastle has
no one. Joe Montana played for the Chiefs.
I just don't. Miguel Almirón.
I don't think that it really translates.
No, probably not.
I'm trying to think who Newcastle
you'd
would
have
translate
be,
to.
You'd have to be in like the top six right now
Damn.
For that to translate.
Maybe
narrative voice. We're not in the top six right now.
You know what? I've just figured out who Everton is. They are the Detroit Lions.
No, we are the New York Jets. Like you're wrong. You're wrong.
They're not the Jets.
Every team I support is the Jets of their league, and we are absolutely the Jets of our league.
No,
we are not the Lions.
Newcastle
would be the Lions.
No, because
Newcastle that makes sense.
Barry Sanders, Alan Shearer,
Aaron Shearer, balanced Barry Sanders. Yeah,
Megatron, Miguel Almirón.
Yeah.
They could be the Chicago Bears.
I like
the Lions analogy.
We'll go with Lions.
Yeah, but
I had a Barry Sanders poster on my door for many moons. When
there
you go.
There it is. They're the Detroit Lions. Yeah.
Barry Sanders was that dude.
Speaking of Jets comparisons, the lights this week.
Yeah,
they actually photoshopped their logo on top of Broadway Joe.
That they did.
Yeah, because the lights.
Bit of a bold comparison.
Guaranteeing a victory over Austin Bold.
Yeah.
Speaking of bold, right?
This is true.
Austin Bold.
Yeah.
And they're doing a pretty cool promotion where basically they guarantee victory, and if they,
that includes a draw,
and really
no, it includes a draw.
Oh, so a draw or a
no, draw or loss.
Oh,
so they have to win. This is not as long as we don't lose. This is a guaranteeing a victory.
According to Thomas, that sounds like our hamburger bet too.
Oh yeah, I will be enjoying my In-N-Out.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You guys,
that I am owed
after the show.
Not today. Yeah. I don't recall agreeing to that. But,
you absolutely did. We got off air.
I know we got off air
and I said no.
I tried to give myself the credit.
Yeah.
That's what I said at the very end of the show.
It's all your fault.
I said, Drago's the Carson.
It's all your fault.
But yeah, you saying that prompted me to point out Liverpool are the favorites in this game.
So
I should receive the draw.
Yeah.
As part of it, as the neutral party,
I can confirm.
My response was, well, no, because I'm going to buy you five guys, which is more expensive than In-N-Out.
To which I replied, if my team wins, why should I be punished?
Yeah, that is true. So back to the lights.
I will say, even though I do not remember that,
You're in second place and owe me In-N-Out.
I will take your word for it because that's how I am. I would rather not watch you cry, Bert and Ernie.
So the lights.
For someone who shed a lot of tears in their tantrums this week.
No tears. I'm not crying.
There were definitely tears shed on Sunday.
It's not a handball.
I can confirm that on Sunday you shed some tears.
No, I was at the Golden Knights game against the Vancouver.
That's actually pretty great. Okay. I believe you weren't crying there.
By the way, just for the record, I turned down dinner tonight with a five-time NBA champ at a steakhouse to do this with you guys.
Further confirming that your judgment is impaired.
I'm also not going to slander that NBA champion, but come on.
Hey, let's just say
he's no Robert Horry.
Five-time NBA champ. I think he made the All-Star game a couple times too, but
in 1912.
Yes,
but,
yes.
Which was when Chris was growing up.
Yes,
this is true.
So I recall those teams when they were shooting in peach baskets. But
James Naismith at the Topeka YMCA. Yeah,
he was the coach.
So the Lights guarantee a victory.
Yeah.
And
so what happens if they don't?
You get free tickets to the March 30th match against Real Monarchs, which is ironically Golden Knights night.
Oh, when they will wear Golden Knights jerseys?
They will.
Still waiting on Las Vegas Lights night at the T-Mobile.
Reciprocal agreement.
Still waiting on one of those.
We might be waiting for a bit, but Thomas had a very valid point, and I've actually mentioned that when people have asked me about this promotion. Mm-hmm. There is a pretty good chance that people root against the Lights to get a free ticket.
I've kind of come around on it. Jorge pointed this out to me today. It's smart. Because if they win, odds are people are coming back. Like, the fans are going to want to come back anyway.
Right.
And if they lose, there was a greater chance that some fans would be like, all right, well, this team is going to be like last year. Let's not show up. But now, free ticket. All right, I'll come back another game.
What if they lose that one?
That's not on me anymore. Like, well, at that point, you lost two games and you're losing the fans.
Here's the reality. The tickets are not that expensive, so you should be going to watch this team anyway.
The other factor is, again, it's not like the ticket sales are ranking where they're making most of their money. I think it's a smart move.
I'm curious to see this year as you move into year two, which in all fairness, I was actually just doing
this. This is year one part
two. I was going to say that I referred to them earlier today. This is an expansion team because last year they threw it all to the trash. But well, to me,
that's what happens when, never mind.
When Puebla FC Lights FC. But no, so it's going to be interesting to see if fans are Las Vegas Lights fans or if they're soccer fans. I guess it doesn't matter for the most part, but you want a fan base that's passionate about your team. You don't want, I mean, you'll take the ticket sales, surely, but like...
Lights just flickered.
Yeah. Pun intended.
Yes.
But I don't think, towards the end of last season, I don't think there was like a lot of like, oh, this is my team. This is our town. This is my team. People rallied around the Golden Knights.
Of course, it helped that the Golden Knights went to the Stanley Cup Finals.
That is true.
But like, I think that part of it is, number one, hockey is still a little bigger than soccer in the United States.
Is that? Yeah, I would say so. And also, it's first division versus second division.
Like, it is NHL hockey versus the USL.
Yeah.
And again, one team went to the final. One team had a lackluster season. I think that, like, and also the Knights benefited from being first to market.
Yeah,
in a city that was looking for
somebody to rally around.
Sports town.
Sure,
they got there first.
Yeah,
that is huge, and that's going to help them in the long run when the NBA eventually gets here. Raiders. That's a different conversation for a different day.
Yeah,
but I think that the Lights have to do what most expansion teams have to do, which is sell your product and sell it well and get people into the stadium. And then that's when, like, you have to attract people to the stadium, and then you get them to buy in on the experience and become fans of the team.
You know, there was something that Carson said, too, and I kind of agree with it in a way because I've seen it. You weren't sure if people were soccer fans or Lights fans.
Yeah.
A lot of that happened with the Golden Knights, too, because being so close to the team as I am, or being as close to the team as I am.
You do know that I'm the one who used to work for them, right?
No, he's talking about the Golden Knights.
Oh, Golden Knights, my bad.
What? There are a lot of people who are still learning the game of hockey.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they don't know a lot about the history of the game. They don't know about other players on other teams. They are strictly Golden Knights fans, and they come to the games. And to be fair, I'm seeing a progression in the fans as well because there are a lot more fans now who understand the game, the nuances, right? As soon as a puck goes into the stands, if they don't think another player tipped it, they're right away calling for delay a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last night there was a play where Calgary was on a power play and the Golden Knights, they were able to spring a guy forward and there was a clear interference penalty. Basically, player prohibited another player from advancing the puck.
Does Drew McGinley still play for Calgary?
No, they just retired his number.
Nice. Legend. Legend.
So the fans booed because they realized that there was a penalty that wasn't called. So there is a progression, and I think the Lights will get that. They just have to remain patient, and I think a big part of it is they have to win, too.
Yeah.
The way I heard it put with the Golden Knights last year was that a decent portion of their fan base, like if you were just going to pull people out of the stands and ask them real quick what icing to explain icing, a good portion wouldn't be able to tell you.
They would say what goes on cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
Ooh. Sounds good.
Which is Carson's default answer.
Yes.
As anyone who has seen Carson can tell.
I'm stocky.
Unit. That's how we're going to describe you. An absolute unit, my friend.
Yeah. For me, there was towards the end of last season, in fairness, at the beginning of last season, but definitely towards the end, there was like almost a self-hating of the team. Like fans were like, yeah, I'm a Lights fan, but I hate all these gimmicks. I hate the team plays like this. I like the Lights, but they like hated the Lights, but also were a Lights fan. Mm. And it was just a weird balance. But now people are like, okay, the team did well in preseason.
Now I feel like it's kind of the opposite where, and I'm trying to choose my words carefully because, again, used to work in the front office. Don't want to badmouth the team.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. But I feel like it's kind of at a point where now people are saying, okay, the soccer is getting me interested.
Yeah.
And now it's how do they feel about the gimmicks? Because the gimmicks are always, as long as things are done in a certain way in that organization, they're going to have the gimmicks.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, okay, provided the quality of play on the field is still there. And I think the perception can be given that when, like last year when the team wasn't playing well, that whether it was true or not,
it was.
People, well, no.
I'm confident in what you're going to say.
No, whether it was true or not, some people got the idea that the team cared more about the gimmicks than the product on the field.
100%. Not
which,
only.
Which probably isn't well, out you of the realm it, of.
I would say not only fans, but also.
I am not saying that. You two are
saying.
No. That.
Yeah, 100%. I'm saying not only fans, because you kind of get that vibe at a match, but also. I cover the whole USL, so I have a whole network. Shout out to BGN.FM, RoughneckScarves.com, official sponsor or special scarves of USL MLS national team. But
shout out to USL superfan Harry.
Yeah,
Ram and Call.
True. And so with that, I talked to all these writers, podcasters for the USL, and that it was across the board. Nobody thought the Lights care more about soccer than they do gimmicks. Everyone thought it was more about gimmicks than soccer, which is also because if your team's bad, you're going to focus on gimmicks.
Well, and that's just
I love
it.
How you're when, wearing an I'm only here for the free.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because
that's Channing Frye.
They did have a couple of gimmicks, right? Obviously, the llamas are a gimmick, right?
That's not that bad of a gimmick to me, though.
The helicopter drop, where they dropped $5,000 out of a helicopter onto the field. That was an interesting
gimmick.
250 people got to go up. Now they're going to do $10,000 this year.
Can we still talk about the fact that did not turn into the Thunderdome?
Yeah.
No.
I was on the field that night ready to throw down, it didn't happen.
That was the biggest upset of the season.
Yeah, from an operations standpoint, that went off phenomenally well.
Well, they had the Elvis bobblehead, which was modeled by Bert and Ernie.
Technically, it's not Elvis. Technically, it's Cash the Soccer
legally,
Rocker.
Legally, it is Cash the Soccer Rocker.
Okay, but Cash the Soccer Rocker, who looks a lot like Elvis. Yeah.
Somehow, I do not have one of those, despite being the model.
I have one in my car.
Nice. I do not have one,
thankfully.
I'm
watching over you while you drive.
many of them.
It's like the Satchel Paige bobblehead, and are we there yet?
No,
he's
it's
in a car accident. Like, the last thing he sees as he goes toward the light is my bobblehead staring
with the chest hair.
The bobblehead is in the trunk of the car. I have, you know what? At my desk, I have one of the Lucha Libre masks.
Nice.
You're welcome.
Are they? Yeah, thanks. Are they doing that again? Lucha Libre mask?
Probably. I don't know.
Wait, no, I think they're giving away the cape. This year they're giving away the cape.
That's pretty dope.
I'm down for that.
I will say there are still boxes of those masks in that front office.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd like another one then.
Because what happened was we were supposed to give away X amount of them. Only half of them got there. So we gave away those, and then like a second week later, another half got there.
I guess that's crazy. But so a couple of promotions. I honestly, I don't want to call it minor league soccer because to me that's a disservice to the guys who are playing because it's not minor league. It's professional. It's just not MLS.
Yeah.
And I mean, not that minor league baseball isn't professional either, but it's not the highest level, but it's not minor league. But I think like you're when you are a smaller league, smaller promotion,
you have to do stuff like
you
that.
You have to like look at all the goofy gimmicks in minor league baseball and people love
shout
it.
The Akron Rubber Ducks
and people love it, right? And they get behind those things like they have like Star Wars night and things like that. I mean,
look at the names.
Yeah, exactly. Right,
the names itself. Like it was the Akron Arrows and it was normal, and they were like, no. Well, Akron Rubber Ducks.
There was the Lansing Lugnuts,
the Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Yeah.
There's something with like
the Tennessee
bacon
Smokies.
Yeah, there's it's all kinds of crazy stuff.
I have a Clearwater Threshers hat, which is like
What is Jacksonville? Jacksonville is like
they were the Suns, but they changed
no,
it.
No, they're like the shrimp or something.
Well, there was
bubblegum
the
shrimp. I don't know what
space,
it is.
I think it was the Space Coast Manatees or something like that.
Yeah, that's what minor league is not the correct term, but a lower league, that's what you have to do.
Yeah. But I'm okay with that because to me, if it gets people out, and people fall in love with the game.
I was going to say, if you convince even a small fraction of people, it was worth
it.
Yeah.
But I think that the
Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, by the way.
But I think that the big thing for any team in any sport, like I understand if gimmicks can like put butts in seats.
Yeah.
The key to keeping butts in
is
seats
winning.
Is winning.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest. I mean, look, we only have 1 year to judge off of, but based on what I've seen so far, this team is leaps and bounds better than last year's team, and they should win a lot more games. Now, whether that translates to a playoff appearance, I don't know.
I think it will
be competitive,
but that's just it. Like
because last year wasn't competitive for the most part.
But I think with Wijnaldum, a guy who has a name, a guy who's well known in not just the U.S. but in other parts of the world, because
and has something to prove.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is a guy who was
at least knew he could go back to Puebla, so.
What, and
he had nothing to prove.
Correct.
For Wijnaldum, he's got a lot more to lose, I think.
Yeah.
Because if this team's not successful.
Yeah, this is what he's building his coaching career off
and
of.
And this is a guy who I think has, I mean, no offense to Lights, but a guy who has much higher aspirations in coaching in the USL.
I don't think that's a secret.
Well, I was going to say, that's not a, to me, that's not a bad thing. And it's
no,
also
it's
not
a good thing for the Lights because that means he was successful when he was here.
And it's the same thing with. Like, if a club will start, I'm trying to think, so like Nashville SC in USL is going to MLS, but like they entered the league to eventually get to MLS.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad thing to like, we want to advance past this league. Like, you respect the league, you got to do good in the league to go to the next league.
Well, and another thing is that a couple of these teams are keeping their USL coaches when they move up to MLS.
This is true.
And I'm not giving away any trade secrets here. I'm privy to no information on this. It is my personal belief that the natural progression for the Lights is that eventually they do want to be an MLS team.
Well, I think they do too. Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the case for
most USL teams
outside of like Real Monarchs, right?
Which I will say
does
create
Portland Timbers too and Seattle Sounders too. I mean,
but
now the Tacoma Defiance,
which does create an interesting dichotomy. I saw someone; it might have been Phil Grooms. Shout out to Phil Grooms. It might have been someone else, but. Someone from the USL podcast sphere made the point that, in a way, it does hurt the USL when you consistently lose your best teams to MLS.
Yeah.
But in reality,
but
here's the thing.
It opens up a chance for somebody else to be
in
good.
In reality, how many teams have they actually lost? I mean, they lost Cincinnati.
You're going to lose Nashville.
And they're going to lose Austin.
No. They're separate. They have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah.
So you've lost two teams.
You're going to lose Sacramento.
Maybe.
Potentially.
You're going to lose Sacramento.
Eventually, probably.
Sacramento fans were really good, by the way. I went to a match there a couple years ago.
Their minor league baseball fans were really good, too. And when the Kings were really good in basketball, they used to show up and...
And they gave the Riders Chipotle.
Nice.
Shout out to Sacramento Republic
good
FC.
Good guys.
To me, it opens up a chance for somebody else to be good, though. I guess would be the silver lining with that.
Yeah, I mean it's like the championship in England doesn't cease to exist because...
No, but the championship in England also gets three teams from the Premier League.
And honestly... Yeah,
enjoy Huddersfield.
That, to me...
Hey, Huddersfield is a treasure, and we better appreciate them while they're here.
But to me, that should be the goal of soccer in the U.S.
Yeah.
To have a system in place where...
Yeah, eventually, the hope is to get to promotion relegation.
Nashville, you're trash. Columbus, you're trash. Red Bulls, you're trash. Guess where you're going next year? You're going to, the problem is, as much as I want to see promotion and relegation, I would love to see it in the NBA.
That would be cool.
You bastard.
Well, no, I mean, but the thing is,
RIP the Cavs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What in the hell?
But the thing
you didn't
is,
bring this up last year when we were in the final.
No, we put promotion relegation in every league. Cleveland has no major sports teams
except the Indians.
Baseball, yeah. No, I think, honestly, I wish college sports would do it. Right, like get rid of conferences and
Fordham is a D1 school.
Yeah, well, so is Duquesne.
Duquesne.
Oh yeah, shout out to Duquesne former Akron Zips coach Keith Dambrot's there.
Can't forget Cleveland State as a D1 school.
Yeah,
Vikings.
Shout out to the Vikings, no doubt.
Pulled the shocker in the NCAA tournament twice.
Yeah, Gary Waters was the coach, if I recall.
Yeah, I think they beat. Was it Michigan State?
Could have been.
I think they beat Michigan State.
My wife, a Cleveland State alum.
Rutgers would be playing like B League high school football by now,
which is right. Where they should be.
Yeah, that is their division.
Right.
But even then, they wouldn't be a successful B League high school football team.
But in all honesty, to me, any league that has promotion and relegation, they get it right.
It's hard to
do that in the U.S. though, because
my thing is it's hard to implement that now.
Yeah, you can't.
You have to do that right when it starts.
Which,
because otherwise owners are going to be like, yeah, what does that benefit me?
You couldn't do it in MLS because when they started, they only had like 10 teams.
Yeah, and there was no real lower
second
league.
Team, yeah.
That's the other thing is if you had started right away, like some of these teams, when they start out, if they drop down a level,
they lose
their fan base and fold.
Yeah, yeah. They may cease to exist.
Yeah.
Well, my thing is, though, if you're going to, and this pro rel could be a discussion for 10 shows, but
yeah.
At this point, if I go to owner A in MLS of random team and I say, hey, if you finish last, you're going to the USL Championship, they're going to be like, why would I agree to that?
Yeah.
On what planet would I agree to that?
And that's just it, right? I mean, I get the problem is there's way too much money invested, I think, in from American owners to ever implement a – and it would be great.
I think what it eventually has to be what I see happening is first – the USL Championship League One, League Two, they'll do it between the three of them, and then they'll figure out a way to move to put MLS in. Maybe it involves like some kind of financial compensation for teams that drop down for the first couple years. You'd obviously have a financial compensation for the teams that move up.
And the thing is, you don't have to do three teams, right? Like
no,
maybe
you don't.
Like maybe you just do one team.
Yeah.
You could do
an experiment to
imagine,
see how
imagine
it works.
Being that team.
See, that would be really cool. Go down. USL Championship, the champion moves up. US and then the
what you
and,
have
and
the
then
issue
MLS
is,
has a playoff between the two lowest teams.
Well, see,
but you
it,
have affiliates
like
is the issue.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's the issue.
But you have affiliates in Spain too, right? Like you have Barcelona second
But Barcelona
team.
B is never going to advance, and Barcelona is never going to get relegated.
But that's fine, right? Like Real Salt Lake is probably never going to get relegated, and
they could. They were decently bad.
But
a couple
MLS
years ago.
Has enough parity that any team
could get relegated any year.
Yeah, but maybe, look at Toronto.
But maybe yes. you at that point, if you ever get to that point, you eliminate the affiliates.
No, I think what you do is like
you make it so that they can't advance.
Well, I think what they would do is drop the affiliates down a level. And make it so that they can't. Because if it's your affiliate team, you can make it so they can't advance. Because it's not like these players are getting robbed.
Yeah,
they're only playing to get called up to the big team.
It's not like technically they're getting relegated or promoted either because they're already part of the big club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting debate, and it's always going to be a topic, I think, among purists. And
I think eventually it'll happen here because I think it's interesting, and we've. Over the course of time, MLS has gone from being very, very uniquely American to adopting more traditional customs. I think that'll eventually happen.
Yeah, good.
And I look forward to the day Rutgers is playing Pee Wee football.
Yeah, well, that may be next year because they're not going to be good again next year. So.
They're not going to be good for a very long time.
Boy, I yearn for the Greg Schiano days at Rutgers.
Which is crazy. Anytime you're looking back and wishing Greg Schiano was still there.
He was a good coach.
Who was the white running back they had? Brian Leonard?
Yes. Yeah, Brian Leonard, yeah.
I just remember the non-white running back they had.
Yeah, I thought of that first.
Let's not mention that
guy's
name.
And let's not mention
you know what name I heard? Speaking of white running backs, I think he's playing in the AAF now. Toby Gerhart.
Oh,
man. Nice. Yeah. He was a tank. I was hoping it wasn't going to be Peyton Hillis.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Madden cover athlete
for the Browns.
The ultimate Madden curse there.
That was crazy.
I don't even remember. Did the fans vote to put him on the cover?
Yes, that is why he got on the cover.
Yeah.
Like,
shout out to the dog pound.
Like, I remember a couple years ago in the NHL, this is why the NHL changed their format in the All-Star game. The fans voted, and collectively, somehow, there was a petition going online.
Oh, I think I remember this.
To vote one of the worst players league into the All-Star game. And I think his name was Steve Jones. I can't remember. I think it's Steve Jones.
Seems about right.
And he played for Arizona at the time. And
the Coyotes.
He was there was this collective effort to get him in. Well, in the process, he was traded to Montreal, and he got sent down to the minors.
Nice.
And the fans revolted because they voted this guy in, so they called him up to play in the All-Star game, and he ended up being the MVP All-Star game.
Nice.
It was like the greatest story ever, and it's incredible. And not the funny thing, but a couple weeks ago, the guy almost was killed.
That's not funny.
No, there's nothing funny at that at all, but he ended up fortunately surviving. I think it was drowning.
I'm sad that Jerome McGinley is no longer in the NHL.
Oh, you know what it was? I think the guy was skating, and I think he fell through ice.
Mm. Ooh,
and
not fun.
Yeah.
That's not a good time.
If you've ever been in cold water.
It's not fun.
No.
Definitely not fun.
George Costanza also did not have fun in cold water.
No, well.
I was in the pool!
Most people don't. Most people do not have fun in cold water. I'm looking up the guy's name.
His private part related is what my reference was. But
oh, it's John Scott. John Scott. I don't know how I got Stephen Jones, but... John Scott,
that works.
MVP of the All-Star Game online campaign. He was named captain of the Pacific Division.
That's amazing.
Despite having only scored 5 goals in his entire career and had 1 assist in his time with the Coyotes, he was traded to Montreal, sent down to the St. John's Ice Caps, the AHL affiliate of the Canadiens.
Shout out to the Snow Caps, best movie candy.
Disagree. Okay.
He scored 2 goals in the All-Star Game and. They won the finals 1-0, and he was voted the MVP.
Best AHL player of all time, Jack Callender, Cleveland Lumberjacks.
There's a movie in development for John
Scott. There really?
Yes.
Nice.
By the way, his career lasted 10 years in the NHL. He played for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different teams in those 10 years.
Well-traveled. I respect it.
10 or 5 career goals at the time of the All-Star. Hey, man. And I guess Montreal was the last team that he...
This makes me wish the internet had voted Cody Parkey into the Pro Bowl.
Yikes. Yeah, they just signed a kicker. Blew it. That's a bold strategy. Shout out to Austin, FC.
Not amazing name for a kicker.
Yeah.
Not as great, I think, as Rodrigo Blankenship, the legend.
I don't even know who that is.
He's the Alabama kicker. Dude's got crazy goggles.
The best kicker was Aguayo.
Sergio Aguayo?
No, Roberto Aguayo.
Who the hell is Sergio Aguayo?
You're thinking of Sergio Aguero.
No, the leading scorer in the Premier League.
No,
you know what it is? There was a punter for UNLV named Sergio Aguayo.
Or Aguado was one of the investigators in Ace Ventura.
Never forget Young Hoku, the 3rd-round pick of the Chargers. He wasn't a Chargers pick.
He was
a Buccaneers pick.
Isn't he the one that does the trick kicks?
Yeah, but he was terrible.
No, that's Aguayo from Florida State.
I'm talking about Young Hoku.
Yeah. He did like cool trick kicks, but then like wasn't very good in real games.
Yeah.
Aguayo was like a 2nd-round pick by the Bucks.
I think Young Ho was a first-round pick.
No.
I think it was second.
It was second.
There hasn't been
a 1st-round pick kicker since Jack.
Yeah. Who I still contend is on steroids, but that's a contest.
He's not on steroids. He's on beer. That dude drinks.
Second-round pick, yeah.
My favorite is, you know what
they traded up to get him, too.
Yeah, that's what made it horrendous.
But Young Hoku, first scorer of points in the AAF.
Nice.
And he's bunny. He's one of 4
Did that kind of flame out yet, though?
No, not yet.
By the way, first kicker drafted in the seventh round since?
Ooh. Kicker or punter?
Kicker. First kicker selected in the second round since?
Alindo Mare.
What team?
Give us a team.
TV.
I'm assuming Jets then. I got nothing on a Jets kicker.
Played at Ohio State?
Oh, Nugent.
Yeah.
The Nuge.
Oh, God.
He had a decent career.
Yeah.
Yeah, not with the Jets.
Not with the Jets.
With the Bengals, unfortunately.
With the Bengals, yeah.
The Jets got a great career out of Nick Folk.
They did.
And now they have Jason Myers, one of the few kickers that did not develop Parkinson's this year.
By the way, Nick Folk, ironically, was the guy the Buccaneers signed to replace Aguayo.
The Buccaneers problem was actually the holder, but that's getting into inside.
We come full circle here.
Yeah, that's getting into inside.
Kickers, soccer,
shout
it all works
out to seventh round draft pick by the Denver Broncos, later traded to the New York Giants in a move that absolutely devastated me because I wanted him to be on the Jets. The GOAT, Riley Dixon.
I got nothing.
Nah.
He brought this up to me before.
Syracuse punter. Legend. Nah. Fake punt master.
Legend,
once hurdled
legend
a player versus LSU.
Legend in his own
I
mind.
Just saw on, no, he I just saw is, that UEFA is opening an investigation into Manchester City.
Yeah, yes, they
possible
are.
Violations
yeah.
of financial monitoring Listen, rules.
Nothing's going to happen to them.
No, of course
just
not.
Just like PSG is going to get let off the hook and Chelsea's going to get let off the hook.
Yo, these financial fair play rules seem like a complete joke to me. Wasn't Newcastle or like some minor club?
I don't think Newcastle.
You know
we didn't
it is?
Spend any it's, money, so it couldn't have been
it's,
us.
It's like, right. it's like when the NCAA allows big universities to get away with breaking the rules,
yeah.
and then
yeah.
they punish and a then small
they strip,
school.
And then they strip Syracuse of like 100 wins that they shouldn't do.
Does anybody care about that?
Yes.
Right? Like to me, the worst thing is like Louisville, right? Louisville had to take down their national championship banner. Look, nobody's going to remember that Louisville had to forfeit their national title.
Reggie Bush had to give back his Heisman trophy. Everyone
right.
remembers him winning it.
Yeah. Like, nobody cares that he gave it back. Like to me, that's the worst. Like hey,
number one college football player I've ever watched, Reggie Bush.
He was for me too, I think. He definitely was in the discussion for the best college football player I've ever seen. I mean, he was so good at USC.
Yeah. Eric Dungy.
Nice.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah,
I did watch Lamar Jackson once absolutely destroy Syracuse.
You know what's crazy? Like I haven't even looked at the schedule. I think Liverpool plays Burnley this week.
We got a matchup.
We got
this
a matchup in a contender for Chris Magnum Chapman game of the week.
It has to be. I don't know.
Let me look and see.
Thing is that it has real world ramifications inside this room,
let's see.
I think that alone disqualifies it.
Wow, there's a lot of crap to pick from this week. Jeez. Wow.
So let's hear it. Pick out a turd from the punch bowl, Chris.
So let's see. Let me check. Match day 30 of 38. Oh man, I gotta look through. Liverpool does play Burnley.
God, if Burnley wins that game, I'm buying a Burnley jersey.
Who does West Ham play?
That's always a reliable one.
That's in there for stinker of the week. However, stinker of the week. I'm going to go Crystal Palace and Brighton.
I love it. That is a great pick.
That's the first game.
That is
game.
A phenomenal
Who's
pick.
Who's West Ham play?
West Ham plays Cardiff.
That's up there, but Cardiff isn't a relegation play.
Yeah, see, I'm going to go Crystal Palace and Brighton.
Brighton's awfully damn close
because
to being a relegation
play. Crystal Palace sits 13th, 2 points ahead of Newcastle.
Yeah.
Brighton is 15th, so a win could kind of help them out. But they're only...
Who else is like a middling club? What about Bournemouth? Who's Bournemouth play?
Oh, I you know what? Bournemouth is playing.
They're playing Watford. That's game of the
Huddersfield.
Week.
Huddersfield.
All right, that's game of the week.
So
Huddersfield literally can't. They can't go anywhere.
They're not in a relegation battle. They have surrendered.
I'll go through the schedule with you. And
okay.
I think I picked a winner, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong or not.
Okay.
I agree with your pick.
I think
they're
Palace and Brighton.
Okay.
Huddersfield, Bournemouth, Soton and Spurs, Leicester and Fulham. Cardiff and West Ham, Newcastle, Everton, City and Watford, Liverpool, Burnley, Chelsea, Wolves, Arsenal, United.
Arsenal United is the only game worth watching this week.
I don't know. I think Chelsea and Wolves is interesting.
Yeah. That's like second on the list, but there's a gap.
Yeah.
I like that they sat Kepa for one match.
Yeah.
And then he was back.
There's a Michael Strahan tooth-sized gap between those two games, I'd say, though.
Yeah. I mean,
and then the rest of the quality
is just
not there.
Well, the thing is, for Arsenal got the draw over the weekend with Spurs, right? They didn't close the gap, but
there was a bad call in that match.
Yeah, they kind of got screwed, huh?
I will say this, though. If Liverpool loses to Arsenal or loses to Burnley, I will buy you a Burnley jersey.
I'm telling you, you know what?
It will not be a legit Burnley jersey. It will be from China, but I will buy it.
By the way, I just told Carson when he showed up, I bought a Switzerland national team jersey on a legit website. I won't give them out because they're not a sponsor, so screw them.
Mm-hmm.
On a legit website that sells legit stuff for $5.
That's pretty crazy.
$2 shipping, 41 cents in tax. I mean, it's going to take 7 to 10 days to get here. I don't care. It's not like I have to wear it tomorrow.
Yeah. You'll wear it next week in studio, though.
I have my buddy.
It's not scheduled to come in until the day after St. Patrick's Day.
Mm. My buddy from Kosovo is sending me a Schalke scarf. He went to Schalke versus Stuttgart.
Really? Yeah. By the way, a friend of mine told me that there's something on YouTube, and I'm gonna check it out. And if I find it, But apparently, like, it's about stadiums and like derbies, and they have an episode where they talk about the one in Belgrade. Where it's Red Star, I don't know who their rival is, but it's supposedly unbelievably intense, and it's really cool.
Similar to Lights FC versus Reno 1868.
Well, screw those gap-toothed Northerners.
What do they call it, the Silver State Cup?
Silver State Cup, is that what it is?
There were other cool options. I remember we went over that. RIP Las Vegas Soccer Betting Hour. Yeah. we went over the other options.
The Casino Classico.
Yeah, Casino Classico was the best.
That's up there with El Trafico for best name.
Did you see, speaking of, we can close on this, but speaking of El Trafico, did you see that Bob Bradley's trying to move that one away? He wants it to be La Classico because L.A., La Classico.
That's
like, dude,
dumb.
It's El Trafico. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
And B, they actually have a decent ESPN Plus behind the scenes with LAFC.
Plus, it would have to be La Classica.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I like El Trafico. I like El Trafico.
I know what you're saying, but he's saying La because
I understand what he's saying.
It's El Trafico
on every
level.
Yeah. The California Classico. It should be the Casino Classic.
Yeah, there's that's one of those things where it's set. It's happened.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change it now.
I'm not going to disagree with you guys. I like El Trafico.
Everyone likes it.
It's so fitting.
Only people who don't like it are the people who hate fun.
As opposed to Red Bull against New York FC, El Crapico.
Nice.
That's a pretty good one.
And
I'll be in L.A. this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Showtime.
Showtime Sean Porter fighting on Fox at 5 Pacific on Saturday.
Is it like regular
Dennis
TV? Ugas.
Yeah, regular Fox.
Wow.
As Alexi Law says, it's like Simpsons Fox.
Big Fox.
Yeah. You know, the funniest thing.
That is what they call it at the network, by the way. It's Big Fox.
And I can tell you this because I'm old, as we've established.
Yeah. Very much.
Fox today would not be around, because you mentioned it, would not be around without The Simpsons.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
That show saved Fox.
Shout out to The Simpsons.
I'm amazed it didn't get canceled at that point.
And
Fox's proclivity to do so.
And unfortunately spawned some other things that Fox is associated with, but
I like that.
Family Guy is a good show.
It is a good show. I was talking more along the lines of some of the crap that disappeared from Fox. Like at that time, there were some really crappy shows that they had that were just horrific.
Rest in peace, Firefly, one of the greatest shows of all time that only got one season.
I was thinking along the lines of Beans Baxter and Herman's Head and
Beverly Hills from Arthur.
Beverly Hills 90210.
RIP, what's his face?
Luke Perry. How the from Ohio?
Ohio native, yeah.
How the hell did that guy suffer a massive stroke?
Well, Chris, you should take care of yourself. That's what I'm saying.
But that guy looked like he took care of himself.
That's true.
You should still take care of yourself.
I will never
Chris.
Forget the...
Exactly. That guy took care of himself.
Yeah.
Well, I'll never forget the Family Guy episode when Peter was drunk and he said, "We say we don't steal a lot from The Simpsons, but we steal a lot from The Simpsons."
Yeah, that was a good one. All right. That'll do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
We've been going at this. We're at an hour and 20.
Yeah.
Well worth it, though.
Well worth it. Yeah.
We will conclude with this. Liverpool sits in second place.
Congratulations,
where
Thomas.
They will remain.
Congratulations, Thomas, on winning the World Cup, Champions League, and Premier League all in one night.
Let me tell you, if the Knicks are going to hang a banner for Chris Stapps winning the Skills Challenge, we are hanging a banner for this.
Shout out to the Knicks tape.
Knicks tape, yeah.
By the way, traded him.
Yep.
All right.
Another terrible move.
That'll do it. Well, it's the Knicks. What do you expect?
Yeah, exactly.
As we have a Knicks banner on the wall, by the way.
Don't know why.
I don't hate the Knicks.
No one hates the Knicks.
Belonged to my father, actually. It was his.
Oh, nice.
And one of the hosts in Fox. That's where we do this, Fox Sports Radio in Las Vegas. One of the hosts, JT the Brick. I think you know him. He is a big Knicks fan. So I brought it into.
He's also a Raiders fan. That is a life of punishment.
No, he's actually a New York Giants fan. Ooh. Grew up a New York Giants fan, but
I assumed he was a Raiders fan because given the Raiders jersey that says JT.
Well, yes,
Brick
he is now a Raiders fan, but yes.
But we will conclude with that.
Yes.
Shout out to JT. Shout out to the Knicks tape.
Congratulations.
Shout out to Everton.
Congratulations, yeah. Thomas.
Shout out to Jordan Pickford, the base god.
Unbelievable. We'll talk to you next week. Later.